Andrew up this morning as he brings us the word.
Well, you may be seated. Give the creative team a hand, eh? Week in, week out. They do an amazing job. The creative team's upstairs as well. Looking after your kids, making sure they get worship. You know, I told my wife to, social media it, Facebook it. But she's telling me last week, she was standing worshiping upstairs, because we have worship upstairs. That's why it gets a little bit loud in here. And she's worshiping God. And suddenly, she's got her hands out. And suddenly, two little hands slip into her hand. One was dark-colored skin from the other ends of the earth, literally. And then one was this little white girl. I can tell you who they are. And they slipped their hands in, and she looked over, and both of them had their other hands raised to God. And she said to me, you know what? This makes it all worthwhile. And these two little kids were just worshiping God to our team upstairs and just captivated by God. Does it get much better than that? And she said, yeah, she got a little bit emotional. I said, you should tell that story yourself. But I had to do it for her because she's not in here. Who's doing well? Who is doing well? Let me just... Come on, whip it up in here. Let's just go quiet. We should be excited when we're in the house of God. My title, I finished my Armor of God series. It did take a while, but we got there in the end. I hope you're all armored up. So this morning I'm going to talk a message on keeping it sweet. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are sweet. Okay, that could get awkward. So, you know, don't say it if you, yeah, okay. Sorry for that, if it got awkward. You know, this Christian life we live is exciting, brilliant, fulfilling, and amazing. Isn't it? Would you agree? If people out there knew what we had in here, they would be flocking this place. Amen? People out there just don't know the fulfillment that God can give someone. They just don't. You know, the more you get out and you just converse with people and you hear what's in their hearts, the more you just go, man, you just need to meet my Jesus. You need to be in church. You need to, what you're looking for is here. And I love what we've got in God. You know, for us, in God, your relationships are strengthened. Amen? Whenever I do a wedding, I always share the great passage that there's a three-strand cord. And I love that. You've got, you know, the husband and the wife, and you've got God, that third cord. Relationships are so strengthened when they are brought under God's care, when they run God's way, when they're in God's kingdom. Amen? And I shared this morning, that the wealth, God does have no problem. Proverbs 10:22. He gives us wealth, but he gives it without sorrow. And how many people in this place have a desire in their heart to do something amazing? You know, God's word says in Proverbs 10:21, the fear of the wicked will come upon him and the desire of the righteous will be granted. Do you know there's a whole world out there that just wants to be fulfilled. They want the desires of their heart fulfilled, and that is within God. There's a whole world out there that just, they're clamoring for that. They have a sense of that over their lives, but we've got it here in God. You know, it should be the only choice for our lives, the pursuit of God. Proverbs 11:19 says, as righteousness leads to life. Everything we've got in God, everything you have in the Word of God, everything that you have in this Christian life, it is literally what most people want but do not know what it is. There are people that want fulfilled hearts. They want wealth without sorrow. They want relationships that have a strength outside of themselves, which is God, that third strand. Amen? All the important things in their life. Let me just change gear. Can I change gear for a second? Because everyone in this place knows, as believers, as people that love God, that there can be another side to that. And 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12 says, we need to be prepared. It says, yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That's a gear change, don't you think? We've got this amazing life in front of us. We've got this incredible world in God. And then God just happens to slip in and just go, but you know, yeah. There's going to be some persecution. Mark chapter 10, verse 29 says, and Jesus said to them, assuredly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospels who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions. With persecutions in this time. God says the tenfold. God says the increase. God says all of that. But God goes, with persecutions, there's going to be some resistance. There's going to be some persecution. There's going to be some stuff going on in your life and around your life. The Apostle Paul says, you know, he says, I love my trials because of the testing of my faith. And that's a pretty good place to get to. But he is telling you that there's going to be trials. And then we also know that God prunes us. If that's not, there's persecutions, there's trials, and then guess what? There's pruning. And I'm not a gardener. I've got hedges, and they're just a mess, and I hack them, and I get there, and I'm giving up this year. I'm just going to try and get someone in, saving up to get someone to come in. It's just, I'm not, who loves gardening? Yeah, okay, awesome. I might have a party at my place. What are you guys doing for lunch? No. But, you know, it's just not me. I get there and I hack it. I like doing the lawns, but you know, there's some people that just take so much care. You know, there's people that create animals out of their hedge. You know, like beautiful little sculptures. I've got a guy down the road and honestly, his hedge is just so straight and so perfect. I don't see the guy doing it. He must do it all night. And it's just like, you know, it's just perfectly straight. It's immaculate. It's like one, you see one leaf one week and next week it's gone if it's out of place. Incredible. Incredible. John 15:1. I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he shall take away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them up, throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and you shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. So God's looking at you and going, you know, I love you, but hold on. Every single one of us in this room, there is going to be a pruning time. Simple as that, I could just tell you that. There'll be some clipping and there'll be some snipping. And whether you think you can just track through that without it, but the fact is it just will happen. Amen? So we've got this incredible life, yet we've got persecutions, God says, that comes with it. We've got this incredible life, yet Paul says we've got trials that will test our faith, and our faith is our currency of the kingdom of God. And sometimes the greatest test on your life is a trial for your faith. Great message last week from Chris Thompson. Get the podcast. The devil's greatest thing he wants from your life is your faith. Amen? So your trials, and, you know, I know for me, the greatest time for me to improve my faith is in a trial. I don't want to say that too loud in case God hears. And he brings more on. Are you with me? He's already heard, hasn't he? Did I say that aloud? But pruning. It's what God's going to do in your life. But, you know, my wife had this word this week. The word she had in her spirit was providence. That there was providence over our church. And I've looking at that. I was looking at doing something, but it's just out there. Can I give you who knows what providence is? Who wants me to tell you? Who wants the theological definition of providence? There might be some scholars here. Yeah? Here it is. Providence is the means by which God directs all things, both natural and unnatural, seen and unseen, good and evil, towards a worthy purpose. I almost said porpoise. Can I just say purpose? It's not good for the porpoise. Towards a worthy purpose, which means his will finally prevail. That's providence. The life of Joseph is probably the best example of providence. There's a guy that was put into a pit, sold into slavery, became a slave, unjustly attacked by, accused by Potiphar's wife, does all that, and he gets to a place where he works with Pharaoh, and then basically he understands at the end of his life that all of that happened so that he could save Israel from a famine. Are you with me? Awesome. So will God use evil? Well, he used Pharaoh with Moses, correct? Didn't God harden the heart of Pharaoh so that miracles all came? The people came to the right place? Wow. Oh, amen. Ooh. That's why I'm not going to get right into this topic, because it's large. What I'm trying to tell you is that wherever you're up to in your life, if you've got a heart for God's will, God will use things in your life to direct you and guide you, and he'll use whatever means. Are you with me? That's how God works. He's above our ways. He's beyond our ways. Can I drop in and tell you something a little bit exciting? We had a meeting this week. I had two meetings. I had a meeting with a local member of parliament who's just a guy that somehow God has knitted his heart. He's going to be here next week for our birthday. Beautiful guy. He's going to say a few words. He's our local member, one of our local members. And I'm having this meeting with him, and he just shares, because the following night we had a meeting with council. Now, some of you in this building would know that we've got a desire and a heart for a very large building down the road called Fisho's. And we've probably had that for about a year and a half. And anyway, he gives us all this stuff and tells us what to do. And we have this meeting with the council. I can tell you this because we were there, and suddenly in this meeting, I was going to meet the mayor, and suddenly the mayor tells me that it's not just the mayor, it's going to be the general manager, and then it's going to be another person. And so the next minute we're sitting there, Dave is on our board, who's a builder. You want someone like that in any sort of meeting like that. And they had Mona, because the general manager, her name is Meredith, she loves Mona, loves her heart. So I thought, let's go with that. It works. Who doesn't like Mona? And then we get there and we're in this meeting and you just see the favor of God just start to work. And God told us to use an authority. God told me to use an authority. We got to these places and we're talking about it. We basically got to a place and just said, we really need this building and it needs to be right there. I can tell you there's going to be a process, a tender process. We're going to put our tender in, but things are looking very good. And you just need to pray. I can tell you that because in mid-December there'll be some process and we'll put a tender in and everyone will know about it. But we need to pray. And we've been down there, and I know a heap of other people have been down there. We've anointed the place with oil. But it's crazy. And I sat there. You talk about providence, and I sat there opposite this general manager, which I had done almost, honestly, Nine months before, she said to us, this building's going to be used for a development. Yeah, we'll consider you using it for a little while, but it's going to be knocked down and we don't. That's not going to change. 9 months later, we're looking at her and she goes, well, everything's changed. They're no longer using it for the development. It's back in our hands and we have to use it for community. You can hear it and I'm just going, wow. There was like a moment, you know, you just went, we both remembered the last meeting. And then we remember that, and literally we said the last meeting, oh, we're praying. God can do anything. Do you believe it? God will use whatever means to get that through, to get God's will operating. And so can I just tell you, with all this going on, with knowing that these are these areas in your life that God can work through, he can work through persecution, that happens. No fault of your own. You can be persecuted. Where, you know, there's churches being persecuted by the media. There's people that are being persecuted individually. You, as a Christian, can be persecuted by another person, by their accusations. It just happens. You can do it through trials, and you can just be in a place where it's all to do with God's pruning. He's snipping. So what are we doing this? What are we doing this? What's the best we can do in this? Bury our heads in the sand and go, no, none of this bad. Go away, evil. No, God says everything's going to be good for me. Everything's going to be good for me. Everything's going to be good for me. There's no evil. I can't see it. I'm not opening my eyes. Or do we deal with and keep our spirit sweet? The greatest part of you is your spirit. Amen? Are you still with me? So can I just give you some keys to keeping your spirit sweet? Is that all right? Got a little bit of time. Got a little bit of time. Keyword is little. First thing is don't lose your faith. God declares that you're going to come through what you're in. Proverbs 12:13, the wicked is ensnared by transgression of his lips, but the righteous will come through trouble. You'll come through it. If you're in a pruning time and there's an area of your life that's not right and God's clipping it, let him clip it, repent of it, get over it, and move through it, you'll get through it. If you want to stay there in that place without repenting of it, well, guess what? It's just going to take longer for him to prune you. God will prune your life because he loves you. Is this no other way it works? He will snip it and he will snip it and he'll keep going and he'll keep coming back around until you get to that thing. So the best we can do in that is give in to God and say, God, I'm in this place and you will get through it. God will bring out some amazing thing on the other side of it. Can I say that? The second thing you can do to keep your spirit sweet. Everyone say sweet. Don't isolate. Seek counsel. Don't isolate. Proverbs 12:15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. Amen. I've seen too many people where they come to a place where there's something going on, something manifesting, some change, some new thing in their lives, and it's kind of natural for us when we're going through something to pull back. You know what I mean? I mean, if it's a pruning, and sometimes people can see it. If it's something else, if there's a change on the inside, if there's something else going on, then quite often we just don't want to be around where there are people. But the Word of God says that we've got to seek counsel. And let me tell you what counsel is. Counsel is not a bunch of people that agree with what you're dealing with. Are you hearing me? That's not counsel. That's a bunch of people that agree with what you're dealing with. That's either a pity party or just a group of people or people that have the same problem. You want counsel? You go to someone who's either walked through what you're walking through, they've got to the end of it, or they've just been strong enough and they've never had that and they understand God and their spirit's sweet. That's counsel. I've seen people open the Word of God with a group of people who are dealing with the same thing and come up with the same conclusion, because that's all they're looking for. Open the Word of God with someone who's got a completely different perspective, then test it. The Word of God will bring truth. Are you with me? That's counsel. Up until that point, it really is not counsel. Counsel is someone that we trust, someone that is not in what we are feeling and what we're going through, and that is counsel. And I encourage you, because people just find themselves in a place where their lives and their hearts get over consumed with bitterness or some area of their lives, and you find out who have you sat down with? Well, you know, yeah, this person. Oh, aren't they all the same as you? Yes, but we've got the Word of God open. Can I just say it? God says counsel, and counsel with someone who's going to be objective. We okay? You know, often we're the last to see what we're going through. Next one, don't stop loving the way that God does and tells us to. We're going through stuff. Quite anything that you're going through will be to do with a person or a circumstance. God will use persecution, will generally attach itself to a person, right? That's the way it happens. Unless, of course, you just get hit by some large fiery darts from the heaven and lands on your car, and then you can go, hold on, that was just, you know, a large fiery rock. Okay, that has happened in the Bible, but realistically, or you come home and there's a herd of locusts in your backyard, and, you know, and then you wake up in the morning, there's frogs everywhere, and, you know, okay, then you've got something else going on. But realistically, persecution comes in the name of a person, it comes in the name of a thing, a system. It can be work, it can be a person at work, it can be anyone, anything. Are you with me? And trials are the same. They can be testing your faith. They can be about finance. They can be about circumstances. And pruning can be, God can use a person to prune you. That's how it works. So don't stop loving the way that God tells us to. See, the love of God caused God to sacrifice his only begotten son. It's a sacrificial love. We've got to be willing to sacrifice to keep love alive. Are you with me? Don't hold on to something that's holding you where you are. If you've got an opinion, be willing to sacrifice it for love. If you've got a thought towards someone, be willing to sacrifice that for love. A sacrificial heart is the greatest indication of love. When someone can sacrifice something in their lives, then they have true love. If you can't, then that thing has you and you don't have love. Are you with me? Gotta lay it down. We approach our loving people based on how we want to love. But the Word of God doesn't tell us to do that. God tells us to love the way he wants us to love. John 15:12. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Is that as they have loved you? Is that you feel that you should love them? Or is that how your neighbor maybe thinks about love? God's word says, as I have loved you. When we get to that part, we're okay. Greater love, verse 13, has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friend. You are my friends if you do whatever I command. I believe that love keeps a sweet spirit. Are you with me? 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. Are you with me? Can I do another one? Romans 13, verse 9. I think we're just still pumping them up there. Good on you. Oh, no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. If there is any other commandment are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Wow. Amen? That's a pure love. That's a love that actually goes beyond everything. It sums up the law. We can look at someone and we can project the law onto them and all they're doing wrong. But God's saying to you, make sure you project my love onto them before you project the law, because I'll do that part. You keep the love going. Are you with me? I think we need to catch our words and don't let our words grieve the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor. Which means we got to be honest with each other. Amen? For we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Kind of like that. You can get angry, but don't sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word, here we go, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. God wants you to keep sweet. And I believe the love of God, if you allow that love to permeate your heart and deal with what's in your heart, don't just deal with everything that's in everyone else's heart. Are you with me? Keep your heart sweet. There is a process where God actually tells the church to deal with sin, how it works and how there's elderships involved and everything. But you cannot have a heart that looks at everything else around you and does not see it through the love of God. Are you with me? Got to keep a sweet heart. A sweetheart. You've got to have a sweetheart. Maybe there's a word for someone. Don't let your heart get bitter. Don't let your heart be overwhelmed. I don't know. There's bound to be people in this room that are going through a trial, a test, pruning. And the hardest thing is just to stay sweet. But I tell you what, if we stay sweet, if we keep our hearts in that place, if we keep our hearts open to God, doesn't mean you have to accept everything's out there. You just got to keep yourself sweet. You keep yourself in counsel. You keep yourself open to what God is doing. It says in that last part of that verse, it says, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Forgiveness is massive. I'm going to finish on this. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25 says, sorry, verse 32. And be kind to one another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. See, God's example exemplifies forgiveness. Can I tell you what forgiveness is? Let me just tell you if you've got it. Who wants to hear what forgiveness is? Forgiveness needs to pardon. It means to cease to feel resentment against an offender and to grant relief. We can throw that word forgiveness out there and go, yeah, I've forgiven. Or do you feel any resentment? Have you given relief to the situation or the people or anyone that's done anything to you? Is that completely gone? When you think of that person, does that come across you or over you? Then friend, you are not in forgiveness. Is that all right? The word of God. Keep your heart sweet. Just live long enough and you'll have people to forgive. Honestly, that's how it works. God wants you to keep the sweetness of your spirit. You cannot dictate everyone else's reactions, but you can dictate your own. Isn't that true? I can forgive someone and they might not forgive me. Or I can forgive a situation, or I can get over a situation, but they might not get over it. You know what? I can't do anything about that. But all I know is I'm accountable for tending my own heart and keeping it sweet. And you know what? Honestly, can I just say what forgiveness, unforgiveness does? Do you want to hear it or not? For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. That's the new covenant, friend. Are we okay? What I'm trying to say to you is we don't have a chance. We have no other way but to forgive. And I just pray that in this place, if we can keep our hearts sweet, if we can keep our spirits open, we can keep in counsel, if we can keep in through these times, these tough times, whatever you're going through, for whatever God's doing, God's providence, God will use situations to get you where he wants you to be. Do you get that? You've got God's will for your life. Joseph, he must have, man, what a battle to keep his heart sweet. That guy is my hero. Dumped in it, comes to see his brothers, gets dumped in a pit, sold into slavery, and he goes from one situation, does the right thing, and then gets accused of whatever, sexual misconduct, and then he gets put somewhere else and somewhere else. And, wow, how does someone keep their spirit sweet? But he stood there one day when his brothers came before him. And you know what? It says in the Word of God that he had to get rid of all the servants because he was crying so much and he was so overcome with joy to see the ones that put him in the pit. Is that sweet? Is that sweet? That's the spirit God wants. And God says he knew what it was. I haven't got the verse right now to read it. But God said, Genesis, he knew. In Genesis, he knew what he was for, what he was put there for, and what he went through all that for. Let's keep it sweet. Maybe the musicians could come up right now. It's quiet in here.